With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On the sixth Sunday of Easter, our hymns are 725, 605, 727, 809, and 594. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled, The God Who's Near, the stake from Acts 17, verses 16 through 31. Mary Yokley is sponsoring the radio broadcast this morning in thankfulness for her successful surgery. We rejoice with her and thank Mary for sharing her gratitude and trust in our Lord with our radio listeners. Welcome and may our blessing.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be with all of you here this morning, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and expecting mothers out there. We thank God for all that you do for our families and for our community at large, and we pray especially this morning that God would fill your hearts and minds with His joy and peace this morning as we are gathered to hear His Word. We are gathered by God's grace to receive His Word this morning, and may we sing in response our first hymn together, number 725. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and to call upon Him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Dearly beloved, Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was at the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. As we get to hear from God's Word. Our first reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 17. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he need anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into the heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time I invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning. It is so good to be with you today. You know what I'm hoping for today? I'm hoping that it rains. Do you hope that it rains? No, some people do. Well, I'm going to prepare myself real quick just in case it rains. I got my umbrella. There it is. I am ready in case it rains. That's what I'm hoping for. Do you know why I hope it rains? You have an idea? Yeah, okay, so that's the main reason why I want it to rain, for sure. Because of all the farmers, they need rain for all of their crops, right? Do you have an idea? Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
I also want it to rain because then I don't have to mow my lawn today. So that was mostly a joke, but I do hope that it rains even still. But I find that word so interesting, hope. Because hope, when we use that word, it kind of means that it's something that we're not certain about. We don't know that it's going to rain, but it's something that we want. We want it to rain, but we aren't sure that it's going to happen. Well, that reminds me of actually different from what Peter was talking about in his epistle reading this morning. Peter was talking about how as Christians, we have hope in Christ. In fact, what Peter is talking about is he's using that word hope, but he's using it with confidence. He's saying that this is true and this is going to happen. He's saying, as Christians, we are hoping for eternal life, but what we mean by that is, it's going to happen. It is going to happen soon when Jesus comes again and he's going to bring us to heaven and give us eternal life. Do you know how we can be certain in that hope, how we can have boldness and confidence? Well, of course, we can be certain because of what Jesus has done for us, right? Jesus came all the way from heaven to come to this world. He came all this way to die for us. He died on the cross. He took upon himself all the pain and the suffering that we deserve for all of those bad things that we do. We do that every day. We disobey our parents. We don't listen to them. We don't share our things with other people. We get mad. We might hit one another. All of these bad things Jesus came to die for, to take that punishment away from you, taking it upon himself. And for that reason, we can live with hope of eternal life. Well, would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us heaven and for giving us Jesus, who has made a way to bring us to everlasting life. We thank you for all that you do, taking our sin away from us and washing us clean in the waters of our baptism. Just be with us this week and this morning. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much. You can go back to your seats. In the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn. said that he reasoned with those in the synagogue. Sometimes that might have come across as a foolishness to those who are blind to the truth. But even still, when you read his letters, you can see it, that Paul was a man of reason. That is, a man of facts and truth. Meaning that he wasn't one to exaggerate or one to fall into logical fallacies. He wasn't a fanatical in that sense of the word, but with reason, he engaged with both his readers and listeners. And so when I'm reminded of this fact, that I come to appreciate verse 27 in our Acts reading all the more. Paul says, "Yet God is actually not far from each one of us." And I just love that word, actually, there. He speaks it with such boldness and conviction. Actually, he says, God is not far from any one of us. For, he reasons, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. As Paul reasons with those in Athens, you can almost hear him saying behind those words things like, I understand why you might think that God is far away. Or I understand why you think God is not near. Why you'd think that he isn't presently involved in your life, or as if he were not interested in your situation. It makes sense for why people would think that. For truly, by nature, our souls are separated from God. From the moment that Adam partook of the forbidden fruit, man has always felt as if God was far away. That immediate access to him has been severed. And that has been man's religion ever since. They either say there is no God, or they otherwise simply feel him so far away and distant. But again, as Paul says, he is actually not far from any one of us. For it's in him that we live and move and have our being. Though we have sinned against him and have run away, though our sins have separated us from our God in a certain sense, however, and actually, he is not far from anyone. Rather, immediately do we see the Lord calling out to Adam in the garden. And though man speaks not a word, yet we see God ever near him still. Still walking in his midst and calling out to him. I want to focus on that phrase just a little bit this morning. The fact that God is near each and every one of us. Because in one sense, within this phrase, I find both good news and I find bad news. The bad news is that God is near each and every one of us. It's bad news in the sense that that should frighten us. God being ever near ought to put a holy fear in the heart of a man. That ever since we were babes, we have lived every second of our lives under the close inspection of the mighty God. I have a godchild who lives in Illinois. And for Christmas last year, his parents gave him an ant farm. And I don't know if it's just because I'm weird or what, but for me, watching an ant farm can sometimes be a surreal experience. can watch, as it were, the entire ant world through just a single plane of glass. And you can see that every individual ant, you can see what they are doing. You see everything they're doing. You see every movement they make. Essentially, you see the entire world. Everything that's going on, you see it all in a glance. And little do those ants know, though, that there is a 5-year-old who lives very near them, and he watches everything they do, watching them closely. And yet, dear friends, if it's not too crude of an analogy, the entire world is in this way, like an ant farm to God. You and I, we're not acutely aware of that greater being who is watching everything we do. But truly, he is watching you. He's near us as his spirit permeates the heavens. It's as Solomon says, not the heavens nor the highest of heavens can contain you. The infinite God, unbounded by time or matter, it is he who fills all things. He sees all things, knows all things, and judges all things. And yet, while you and I, we can never read the minds and the intentions of ants, God, though, certainly does know the thoughts and the intentions of man. And he knows the desires and the imaginations of our hearts. What a fearful thing to know that we live before the all-seeing eyes of the Lord. His eyes even penetrating into the very depths of our being. He peers even into those hidden crevices of our hearts wherein our own mind's eyes fail to see. Just to think that every sin we've ever committed has been done in the presence of the Almighty. That every time we've brushed him off, ignored his commandments, doubted one of his promises, or despised any one of his words, we have blasphemed him, as it were, to his face. Every wicked whisper we've ever uttered, it has been whispered into our Maker's ears. Every idle word and unkempt thought, it has been all shouted into the ears of the living God. All of this has been done before him whose eyes are fixed upon us and to whom we must give an account. I wonder how many of us think that we can simply hide from God simply by hiding behind closed doors. Out of sight, out of mind, we love to think. And yet, though it's foolishness to think it, how often we live it. And yet surely, though, even our darkest closet is fully illuminated to the God of light. And wherever we find ourselves most hidden and isolated, it is all but another room in God's sovereign domain. God is not mocked. The Lord God, sovereign and eternal, is again everywhere watching, ruling, and judging. Perfect are his ways, as he demands that perfection also from his creatures. Truly, as Paul says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But then again, dear friends, there is good news about how God is always near us. And that is that God is always near us. What glorious news that those called by God's name, those redeemed by his blood, for you who believes in, who rests upon, and who trusts in him. For you this day, this is glorious news. For God is always near you, dear friends, as a good father. As Jesus says in our gospel reading, I will not leave you as orphans. By grace through faith, the Lord comes to you. He's always near to see your broken heart over sin. He is so near you that he hears the sighs of your heart. He perceives the repentance of your spirit, the brokenness and the wantonness of your soul. God is ever near us, and his heart is melted by the sight of his children coming home. The tears you cry over sin, he collects them into bottles. The Lord, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He is full of compassion, and he is quick to show mercy. This is he, dear friends, who's always looking, always near to find objects upon which he can pour out his divine favor upon. I want you to see just how near the Lord is, that he should perceive the faith the size of a mustard seed. He shall look into the heart and seek out that smoldering ember from that smoking flax. The Lord is so near that he shall perceive even the smallest of faiths, and yet he will honor that faith and cherish it. And he shall use even that small faith as a blessed channel to save you. Though but the smallest of faith, he shall yet open up the floodgates of mercy and rush in with a flood of forgiveness and grace. For us who belong to him as children, I find this nearness of God to be such a comfort. For again, beloved, he is not far from us. And truly then, does that mean he must readily hear our prayers? He is so near that he is quick to hear us. And he confirms that same thing himself when he says, before they call, I will answer them. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. To think that the Creator God, the Almighty Lord, the Sovereign King, would be so near as to hear and listen to every plea for mercy. He is so present that he hears and that he acts in response to every cry of help that comes to him. And if it is true, last of all, if God is near, then that means that we can never be in any real danger. If we are never really ever far from God, then we can live confidently and anxiety-free. For when trials come, the promise holds true that the Lord is the keeper of his people. We can never be in any real danger, knowing that the good Lord holds your very soul in his hands, keeping you both day and night. As he was ever present with Israel, as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, it is said that he was guarding and keeping and leading them through the wilderness. And so likewise is he still with us today, just as mightily, just as wonderfully. For evil cannot come near him who is near to God. Go wherever we may, there is yet a heavenly host and a royal guard that surrounds us. I'm reminded of the story in the Old Testament when Elisha's servant, he is afraid of a foreign army. And he's looking out as they are encamping against their city, seeking to take it over and to kill them. But then I remember Elijah, what he said. He says, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Elijah prayed then that the Lord would open his servant's eyes to see. And the God who perceives all things heard that prayer. He opened the servant's eyes, and so then the servant, he looked up into the hills, and he saw angels and chariots of fire. An angelic host he saw was standing at the ready to help and to protect, defend, and to provide them. You know, Elijah, his servant found great comfort knowing that there was a heavenly host near him, and that the number of angels for them was greater than those who stood against them. But for us, dear friends, there's something even greater than that, which we may comfort ourselves in this morning. For the Lord is near us, and he is on your side. He is for you. And if God is for us, then who could be against us? His servant found great comfort in angels. But truly, even still, just one eternal, infinite, and almighty God is greater than all of the angels. You can put all of the visible and invisible things, lump them all together in one side. You can put all of the cosmos, all in one giant mass, every angel and demon. You can put it all on one side of the scale, the darkness, the forces of evil and death itself. You could lump it all together, and God will still be greater. And infinitely greater is he. He is eternal in all things. He rules all things, governs all things, and he is for you, dear friends, working all things together for your good. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn. worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand for prayer? Heavenly Father, as we live always before you, with every thought, word, and action laid bare for you to see, lead us into a holy and reverent fear. Move within our hearts and minds so that we may forsake sin and evil. Lead us into holy repentance, to turn from the ways of sin and death, and to turn to you for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious Father, you are the Lord of heaven and earth, and through your sovereign hands you order all things. We humbly ask that you would graciously look upon us as your people. Continue to provide for all our needs of body and soul. To you alone do we look to and trust in. We especially pray that you would bring rain and seasonable weather to us. Look after the creatures of your hand and the children of your promise as we look to you to provide for all of our needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, we thank you for all those who graduate from schools and colleges this week. We thank you for the schools and the teachers who have poured themselves into their students' lives all these years. We ask that you would give the teachers and the students fulfillment, joy, and peace. Be with the graduates also as they seek either careers or additional schooling. We ask that you would lead your people especially to grow up strong in both mind and body. Lead them into their various vocations so that they may serve community and neighbors. Lead us all to see our work as if it were being done for you, as you are our Lord and our Master. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we live before you, Father, lead us in all confidence, knowing that you are with us in love and mercy. As we live and move and have our being in you, help us to see that our lives are held in and guarded by your sovereign power as you deign to love us. Lead us to constant thanks and praise, knowing that you are for us in Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we lift before you all who are on our prayer list, for those who are on our hearts and minds this morning. And we especially lift before you this morning all mothers, expecting mothers, and those who desire to be mothers. We lift these before you in thanksgiving, further asking that you would comfort, cheer, and bless them. Be with mothers as they live sacrificially for their families, and lead us as a society to uphold and to honor and to dignify the motherhood. And gracious God, we further pray that you would be with the Harms as they seek some extra care in the nursing home, and for all these on our hearts and minds this morning, Lord, we lift these before you, asking that your peace would be upon them, that peace which surpasses understanding. Give your healing touch, as you are the giver of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.